How long have we had last night? Better check. Good evening. My topic is keeping the safe safe through effective leadership. I am going to try to use the overhead, and if any of you are new or don't remember, me and overheads don't seem to work. Brother Swain seems to suck all the lumens out of the overhead when I get to it. So whenever I get to it, he's like, well, it worked the last time I used it, and I go to flip it on and dies. So we'll give it a try tonight and see what it does. I, too, also, you know, try to do the font, you know, highlight the whole thing, hit, like, you know, 38, and it went poof, and blew off the page. Luckily, I was able to hit print preview and work with it a little while, so I got something that should look fairly decent. All right. Do we have introduction? Yay. Nope, we stopped there. As everybody said tonight, you know, this is an extremely important topic. You know, there's no point. And I'll say this right out. There's no point in going out and teaching the lost and going out and evangelizing and talking to people if we just get them into this church and let them fall away. You know, it's not a ticket counter, you know. It's not how many people we can get, you know, we can get through the doors and get them dunked that's going to get us into heaven. And just making it in here and making it into the water isn't going to get you into heaven. So this topic's important for not only what must I do to help others go to heaven, but what must I do to make sure myself goes to heaven. Because we, you know, when there's a topic like this, it's always the other person. Yeah, we need to work on keeping that person saved and that person saved. Yeah, I remember when it used to be Greg Byers used to talk about this, every time I point at somebody, I got three fingers and a thumb pointing back at myself. And we've talked about relationships with the Lord. We've talked about what it means to keep the saved saved. And the baton was passed to me from Brother Burden on his excellent lesson on personal evangelism. So I'm going to look at tonight, what is leadership? You know, you hear those, it's one of those buzzwords politicians like to use. You know, there's all these little catchphrases they like to have, and leadership is one of those buzzwords they like to talk about. You know, somebody's a leader, this person's a leader, I have good leadership. So what does it mean for leadership for a Christian, though? And if you look at 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for whereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And that's ultimately what a leader is, the person that goes before you, the person that shows you the way. Not saying, yeah, go ahead and you go do that, but saying, I'm going to do it first. And that's what Christ did for us. Mark chapter 9. Jesus further reinforced this point. When his disciples were discussing amongst themselves who was the greatest. And starting in verse 33, it says, then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set them in the midst of him. And when he had taken them in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. A leader is the person who's taking care of everybody else. That's not what I want as a leader. It's not what I want to accomplish as a leader. It's what is best for my people. What do they need? And as far as Christ Church, what do they need to be saved? What do they need day by day to keep themselves saved? What day by day do they need to see in me that they may emulate so they will be saved? And Jesus used the example of a little child, and he's not saying that we should go out and baptize little children, as some people look at this scripture and try to say it's a reason why we should baptize infants. But Christ is saying that there are people out in the world who are like children, who have no idea where they're going, have no guidance, have no leadership in their lives. They don't know anything spiritually. And we need to take these people and accept them into our lives. But like all children, you just don't bring a child into your family and plop them down and, you know, like a chia pet, just water them every once in a while and watch them grow. A child takes time. A child takes energy. A child takes discipline and love and nurture and admonishing and exhorting and a lot of patience. Well, it's the same thing with a child in Christ. When you have that new Christian, they're going to make mistakes. And just like a new, you see like old toddler is just full of energy bouncing off the wall, so is a new Christian. They're full of energy, but we as older, experienced Christians should A, feed off that energy to be excited ourselves, and B, learn to curb their energy into the right areas. Because these people want to do something, but if you don't tell them what to do and how to do it, they'll do something all right. It may not be the right thing. And like all children, we need to steer them from danger. You know, when your child used to go and run towards the road, they used to yell at them and grab them and yank them back before they ran out into traffic. Well, it's the same way with a child in the church. If we see somebody heading for the road where there's no traffic, all too often we're scared to yell and say something and do something and grab them. That's what discipline is. You know, it starts out, hey, stop. But when the child gets closer, you have to take more drastic measures to drag them away from the danger. So we as leaders need to know that sometimes there are things that we have to do as a leader that we may necessarily not like. But it's our duty as a leader to take care of them. So who are the leaders in the church? Naturally, it starts with the elders. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes to him, Titus, saying, "For this reason I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set things in order, the things that were wanting, and appoint elders, plural, in every city, as I gave thee charge." These churches obviously didn't have elders, because he said appoint them. And he says you should set the things in order that are wanting. These churches lacked elders, and they needed to have elders. They needed to have men who are wise and experienced, who would lead the church, and they're the first and foremost to keep the saved saved. And Paul wrote this under the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants a plurality of elders in every church. And why? Why? Well, let's look at the qualifications. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Faithful is a saying, if a man seeketh the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be therefore without reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitality, apt to teach, no briler, no striker, but gentle, not contentious, nor a lover of money, one that rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man cannot rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he be puffed up and fall into the condemnation of a devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony from them who are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. And again in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says, if any man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children that believe, that are not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as God's steward, not self-willed, not soon angry, no brawler, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but given to hospitality, a lover of good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-control, holding the faithful word, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine and convince the gainslayer. These are older men who devoted their lives to growing up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, who raised children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. These are wise men that know the scriptures, that love God, that have excellent qualities. These are true leaders. These are men that not are saying, do as I do. Not, excuse me, do as I say, not as I do. But these are men that are saying, I have lived this life. I am doing what God has told me to do. These are men that have been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years. Does that mean they're perfect? No. That means that when they've made a mistake, they've gotten up and they've gotten through it. These are men that, even though you may not believe it, have probably been through many of the things that you're going through in your life and have come out the other side and become a better, stronger Christian for it. So if you have a problem, you can probably talk to them and they probably have the answer. So they've gone through it. Or maybe they've gone through it twice or three times. And elders, and those who aspire to be elders, need to take the heed of the instruction that Peter gave them in 1 Peter chapter 5 when he says, "The elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock which is among you. Exercise the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, yet not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Nor as lording over it, the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves an example of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifest, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And in Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey them that have a rule over you and submit to them, for they watch out for your souls as ones who shall give an account. And may they do this with joy and not for grief, for this is unprofitable for you." Now, first of all, the elders, I know they know this by just watching them, that they have a charge of a congregation and they need to do it because they love the congregation, they love God, and they know that's what is needed by the church, that they need to lead this church. But they also know that they're going to have to make an account before God for the things that they're doing. But we also, as the saved, trying to keep ourselves saved, need to realize too that we need to submit to these men because they know better than we do. We need to submit to them because God is going to hold them accountable, and we don't want to make their job more difficult. We're told to obey them. In 1 Peter 5 and 5, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So we have elders. We have good, strong elders in this church. So what is our responsibility? We need to listen to them. We need to follow them. Not much point in having a good, effective leader if you're not willing to follow him. So what have the elders said? The elders said, first and foremost, that we need to be here. Everybody understands the importance of good nutrition. Everybody understands that you need to get, you know, the first thing in the morning, that first meal of the day is the most important. You need to have, you know, meals throughout the day with good food and combined diet, and you need to be a healthy, strong person. Same way the elders have told us we need a good diet, and that starts coming to church. That means being here every single day that this church door is open. Because you need to be spiritually fed. That means attending church. That means attending Bible studies, the men's and ladies' class, lectureships, gospel meetings. Because that's when we get spiritually fed.